There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks 50 Days of Dragon Con podcast, where we count down from 50 and go to zero, which is where all the fun begins. And joining me, as always, is the very frantic one right now, Lee. Lee, how you doing?
Now, see, I'm doing great. I'm not frantic.
You're not?
Are
you sure?
I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared. I'm not frantic, but no, I'm not frantic. I mean, I'm pulling stuff together. I'm looking to get ready. But I think we're good. I haven't, I keep watching the webpage to see if anybody's been added or deleted. There always will be possibly some late people who can't be there on Friday because of scheduling conflicts or that they're still filming or things of that nature, but then they'll be there Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever. So, you roll with the flow on that. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Yay!
Yeah, because as we record this, we're 10 days out. So
okay, now see, you don't really need to say that.
Well,
because that might make me a little frantic.
10 days.
Especially when we get down to like
a week
single digits.
And a half. Well, tomorrow will be 9 days.
Stop it. Now,
and we're recording this at night.
To see
so
if you can make me crazy.
Well, yeah, probably. So the schedules are as final as they're going to be, at least pre-con, right?
Yep. I think so. And all the track directors were threatened with potential disbarment by Regina and David, the senior directors, if we tried to make too many changes right now, or pretty much any changes. So I think that they will be up very, very soon. I know they've sent them to get printed, so you'll have your lovely little pocket program. And they've sent them to be updated to our app master, so our app developers. So they should be up on the app very soon.
Cool.
So you'll have it all and you can start looking at it. And then it'll also be on the Dragon Con webpage. You can download it and all those kind of things. So even if you don't have the app, you'll be able to download it from the webpage.
And
so pretty good.
And so pretty much the guest list is also finalized. So they'll have the nice little Dragon Con program all printed up with all of its beautiful artwork on the front.
It should be. And there really is a lot of gorgeous artwork at Dragon mm-hmm. Con. Have you seen all, my child has gotten into buying art at Dragon Con, which makes me very happy. Have you ever bought any?
And on occasion, very poor.
And very poor, it does.
It can.
Does. But the people who liked.
Whoa,
poor,
apparently someone disagreed with me.
They disagree with the being making people poor part, but they are on the phone. And this will be John and Anne, who are the husband and wife team, who I can't believe are a husband and wife team and still put together
the
show every year. You guys amaze me. How you doing?
Oh, thanks. Hi, guys. How is everybody?
Great.
Doing great. Hey, yeah. How do you guys put this on and still stay married?
Well, I pretty much work on it a good chunk of the time, and then she comes in and points out what I've done wrong and to fix it, and then we go on. That's pretty much how it works.
Oh, so she's like my wife.
I'm not going to touch that one.
That'd be a good thing.
And that's also the reason why you still continue to work together is because you know when not to say anything.
Well, you do what you got to do to make it run, right? So there you go.
Right.
It's for the benefit and the harmony of the show. So that's important.
And the benefit and the harmony of the marriage.
Well, there's that too. So there you go.
So how many
are you guys doing today?
Oh, we're doing fine. I actually am wishing I had Atlanta's weather right about now. I know it's kind of overcast and gloomy, but still, high of, 72?
You may wish that. Yeah, you may wish that, but we have had more rain and more water for the first 7-8 months now than we've had for the entire year last year. It's been really, really bad.
I was up there not too long ago. I experienced it, but I'm actually speaking to you from Tampa, so and it's pouring down rain outside right now. So, but it's still 91 degrees outside. So it's nice steam.
It's cooled down this week, so that's nice. Yeah.
So how long have you guys been doing the art show?
It's our 13th year.
Wow.
Yeah, 13th year.
Wow, 13 years.
We've worked hard at trying to get this to be, you know, a really good art show, and people seem to be enjoying it well and seem to be happy with what we've done and continue to grace us with, you know, attendance and whatnot. And that's always a nice feeling that people are enjoying it. So it seems to be doing well.
Cool. Now, I should ask, what exactly, for those that don't know that are listening to this for the first time or going to Dragon Con for the first time, what exactly is the art show? What does that encompass?
Okay, so the Dragon Con Art Show is the largest art show in fandom. We are a juried art show that deals with genre-specific categories. And our categories are sci-fi, fantasy, horror, surrealism, and space, or what's the other one? Space and...
Spirituality,
that sort of thing. So, you know, genres and subject matter for that particular group. People have approached us in different ways over the years with the jury submissions, and some of it matches the categories and some of it doesn't. And we try to, you know, see how that goes, and we see how the jury responds, and we go from there. But generally, we try to stick with those genres if we can. And then at the show itself, we offer a artist bazaar, which is where the artists will sit and do their sales between themselves and the public directly. We also have a gallery, which is some of the artists are just hanging their work, or else the ones at the bazaar table also have their work in the gallery. We also have a 3D section, which is the artwork in the round, and Dragon Con has a lot more of that than some shows, which are more 2D heavy. But I have a background in 3D, and I really wanted more 3D in the show. So we really try to promote that part of the show, which is, you know, there's a lot of great stuff in the round, and people...
And we also have the print shop.
And the print shop.
Yep.
So that's another big thing that we have, is a very large, humongous print shop. So that's...
Yeah, and from the attendees' point of view, if they're going to bid, we have a silent auction that starts when the show opens on Friday and ends Sunday at 6. And all they need to do to bid on things in the silent auction is register for a bidder number.
Right. And if you have a bidder number in the past, they can reuse that, correct?
Yes. That's their permanent bid number in most cases.
But we do ask that they come and fill out our paperwork again, just to make sure that we have the correct information in our system as to name, address, and email, and that kind of thing.
Well, and I want to ask two questions. Oh, sorry. Go, John.
That's all right. I was going to finish it up with also art show, which doesn't always get promoted as much as we like, has a very wonderful programming panel, which people just think it's just the artwork, but we also have a very...
We have a track room, and we have a lot of programming, art-related programming.
Right, and a lot of the programming is not just about art, but it's about how to be an artist, how to get into this sort of field, how to do certain types of techniques. The artists are very gracious with their time and do a lot of the panels with us. For various things. So it's a great, great place for people who are up-and-coming emerging artists or even just interested in sci-fi fantasy art in general to come and meet the artist and to learn about how to become one of these artists.
Well, and I have like three follow-up questions. So let's start with the last one you talked about, which is the programming. Where do you do your programming? I mean, would that be in the Pocket Program or on the app?
Yeah.
It's in the Pocket Program and
in the app. It's in Hanover G. It's on the same
Hanover
level
G.
as the art show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that'll be Hanover G, which is on the exhibition level of the Hyatt Regency Atlanta.
Yeah, and if people are wondering, from the Hyatt, that is two escalators down from
the
main
level.
The main lobby. Yep. Mm-hmm. Not at the very basement, but right above the basement. So there you go.
Right.
So great. And so that programming, how many programs? I mean, is it like what usually panels do, like 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., or do you do...
Well, it runs from just as long as our show's open. So we start at 10 in the morning on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And then we close at... The last show is over, I think, at 8:30.
Oh, excellent.
7:30, I think. Yeah.
Right.
It's the last panel. Because we close at 8.
But this year we're continuing a program item that has become popular for student artists as well as established artists, where it's Michael Budzett, correct?
I think so.
Michael Budzett does a open studio drawing class where they come in and they can bring their own materials, and he brings in a model, and he helps them understand the proper way to do figure drawing. So that's been a really popular one, and we let them go after we close until 10 or 11, till they're done.
Yeah.
So,
that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of students really enjoy doing that.
And while, as we all know, everything is tentative until it's really done, so did you say that's on Saturday or Sunday?
Both Saturday and Sunday.
Both Saturday and Sunday. Excellent, excellent.
Right.
So that'll be really good. Hanover G in the Hyatt. The other thing you guys talked about was the bidding process.
Right.
And I think a lot of people get a little confused on, if I bid, when does it go to auction, or think with the silent bid, with the bidding and the, basically the silent auction. So can you give a little more explanation about that and how it works?
Sure. Every piece of artwork that's either in the gallery on the 3D floor has a what's called a bidder sheet on it. And the bidder sheet will present people with three prices. One is called the quick sale price, and we kind of refer to that as the Walmart price. It's like you pick it up, you buy it, you go to the cashier, they scan it, you're out the door, you're done. Then the next bid is the minimum bid, which is the silent auction bid. It's the minimum amount that that artist will accept for that piece, and it can be, you know, whatever they decide to do. And the person will put a bid down who has a bidder number, and then the next person comes along and they can put another bid. Now there's five spaces for bids.
What's the third one?
And if a bid goes to five, if a piece has five bids on it, then we automatically send that to the Boyce auction, which is on Monday afternoon at 12 noon. In Hanover CD&E, we have an auctioneer. His name's Mark Lee. He's wonderful. And people can go in there and start, you know, bidding and fighting for the bid for that piece. So that's what the minimum bid is about. Then at 6 o'clock on Sunday night when the auction closes, if the bidder sheet has not been bought for the quick sale or if it has not had a bid put on it, then it goes for what's called the after auction price, which is the price that goes into effect after 6 p.m. on Sunday. So people who have a bid on something should just come check occasionally if they really want the piece. And if someone's bid, you know, above them, then they need to
they
put another
bid.
Right. And they keep doing that until it hits five bids. And after that, it goes to the Boyce auction on Monday. And then come at 6 o'clock on Sunday, it's quite interesting because it's one of our really busy moments, is I do a countdown from about 5 minutes out of when the bidding's going to stop. People are just roaming around waiting to grab their piece. It's really quite interesting to watch. And once the bidding stops, you hear everyone go, ah, and they start getting excited, and everyone starts grabbing their artwork and getting into line to pay for it. So it's
well,
really
and that
exciting.
Was... And they get
ahead,
to actually take their artwork then. I mean, if they do the quick bid price, they can take their artwork then. And then if on Sunday at 6:01, they're the high bidder, they get to take it. They get to take it with them then.
Correct. They're the winning bid of that piece. They can get in line and go ahead and pay for it and get out the door with it. Absolutely.
Well,
but it's
just
not mandatory that they do that.
Right.
It's not mandatory they come back.
Yeah, they can come back on Monday and buy it if they don't want to wait in line.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Speaking,
I will just tell you, we in our family, as I said, my son's done some, and he's done some both bidding and he's done some prints. And also, my husband has bid on pieces for us and for jewelry because I'm working. But but that's really good, and we've enjoyed doing that. And I've gotten some great fun. I've gotten some beautiful pieces, and I've gotten some fun pieces. I have a great alien set that I got from you guys years and years and years ago, which is a necklace, earrings, and bracelet that I do wear at Con. So it's always fun.
Yeah.
Well, let us mention a couple of our people. We have our guest jurors this year, which is Jim Burns, Omar Ryan, and Carrie Ann Bada, which Jim Burns is out of England. We're bringing him out of England, and this is kind of a unique opportunity for people to meet an artist who's kind of like at Michael Whalen's level and some Boris Vallejo's level, being in the, you know, art fantasy world business for 30-plus years, and they might not be able to meet him in person, you know, being from England. So we've managed to bring him over, and he's really excited about coming to Con, hearing so much about us, because he had not realized, being at other conventions, how big Con was as he got more into it. And he's like, you all are really big, aren't you? And it's like, yes, sir, we are. So he does some
fabulous photorealistic work that I think people are going to really be impressed
right,
by.
And the lithograph and the program cover will be his work this year. So you'll get to see that when it's released.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we also
Go ahead. Keep going.
We also have Todd Lockwood, Daniel Dos Santos, Don Mates, who is the Captain Morgan pirate artist, the one who's famous for that, and his wife, Jenny Wirtz. So we have quite a number of guests again this year for people to come out and say hi to.
Great. And speaking of being in line and roaming around, there are special rules. DragonCon loves their photos, photographers, but there are special rules that are associated with being in the art show, correct?
Yes, and it was unfortunate that we had to do that, but what has occurred in the past is a fair number or a handful of unscrupulous folks took pictures of the artwork and then decided to try and sell it online. Mm-hmm. So because of that, we had to instill a no photography, no video rule in the art show to protect the artist's copyright, because that's just not really, you know, very polite. So in the art show, the artists themselves know this rule. If they want to take a picture of something, they just get with us. And as long as we're standing there making sure they're not taking pictures of somebody else's work in the background, we'll let them do that as their responsibility as owning the photography. But general attendees, other folks who are there, they all know to come check with us. And there is no photography or video in the art show part of the show.
Excellent. So that's important to remember. And I believe you have folks check their bag too, correct?
Yes, the only reason we do that is, you know, once again, it's just to make people, you know, most people are there just to have fun and not cause any problems. It's just, once again, a handful who may be, you know, thinking about doing something. So we check large bags for, you know, possible, excuse me, you know, you brought that from the area, we're just going to zip tie that shut,
no
big deal.
We just check receipts whenever they leave.
Yeah, we check receipts on the exits, make sure people have purchased what they are carrying out. You know, once again, we kind of use that Walmart mentality. Can we check your receipt, please? You know, and just make sure that everything's cool. So it's not a big deal. And most people are very, very, you know, gracious about it and just say, oh, yeah, sure, here, check it. So we go on.
Yeah, cool.
Very cool.
So explain to me a little bit about the process as far as getting into the art show.
Getting into the art show, how?
As an artist.
As an artist. Yeah. Or you know, standing outside and then walking in. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, it's like
you just show them your bag, you go in.
Yeah. Okay, as an artist, that's entirely different, correct. All right, as I said, we have a jury process. Every year, roughly at the end of February, beginning of March, we will have a set of new jury. It's usually a three-artist jury set up to accept jury images from people. They send us 7 images, plus their application form for the jury to consider. Then for about it doesn't take this long, but generally we need about a month to make sure the jury has time to look at all the images and score the images. And then we get all those back, and then we start looking at various other factors. And part of the process of doing the jury is they'll pass the jury, but we still need to consider other things like, are they a guest? Are they pre-approved? Are they, you know, other considerations, what sort of floor space they wanted, the amount of space we have, all that. Mm-hmm. And once we do those considerations, we start putting people on the floor that we currently have laid out for that year. And once we do that, we'll have X number who get onto the floor, and then another X number. For instance, this year we had 49 artists who were put on a waiting list, waiting for someone in the show who might withdraw, and then we see if that space is compatible with the first person on the, you know, on the list, or the second person, depending upon what sort of space they wanted. So the process is a little drawn out, but for a show this large and the number of artists, which in this case this year is about 130, it's a lot of work for us to process and to get it ready for this time of year. So I need a lot of front time to make sure we get everything in place and get all our ducks in a row.
So basically they just have to fill out an online application and mm-hmm. submit 7 images. They don't have to pay for the space when they fill out the application, but they do have to give us a form of payment before they can be put on the floor. Basically, they just have to put in a credit card number.
Okay.
And that is to make sure that they're serious about actually applying to the show, else, you know.
Oh, I see.
Okay,
I see.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just make sure that they're actually committed to doing the show.
So that raises an interesting question that I don't know that I've ever knew the answer to, which is, do they artists have to pay? I mean, if they get accepted, do they have to pay for space, or is it still just?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So each of the spaces a certain amount, you know, of cost. The bazaar table is a certain price, and mm-hmm. you know, an artist booth is a certain price, and the gallery hanging bays, the large bays, or the 3D tables, all of these, or the floor space. They all have specific prices, which are listed on our site on the application forms when people go to look.
So I imagine your load-in process is considerably different than some of the other folks. I mean, when do you start actual load-in, and how do you get the art show all prepped and ready to go?
Well, what some of the folks might not realize is art show crew is in combination with another crew at the office, and together, because art show is roughly two-thirds of the equipment that the Dragon Con management has in storage, we all help move the entire show to the hotel. So we're roughly doing about 2 large 28-foot trucks plus another 15 plus a cargo van, I think, at this point. When we used to do just one truck, we're up to this now. And it's because the show's grown and we got a lot of equipment. So we start early, probably Tuesday, Wednesday, and start getting stuff moved down to the hotels. And we start building the art show Probably, I don't know, Wednesday, Thursday morning.
Either Wednesday night or Thursday morning.
Yeah, and it's a huge, huge, gigantic thing to build. So I have a crew of probably 30 folk just for we call them the labor crew. It's a setup breakdown crew. And they're really good folks. And we were always laughing because for our volunteers, of all the volunteers that we have, these are the ones that we really work very hard, and they're just wonderful, sweet people. But they're the ones who keep coming back. And we're like, what's wrong with you people? We're working you to death. You keep coming back, you know, and it's just hilarious. And they're just really sweet people. They're good, good folks, and we couldn't do it without them.
Yeah, we absolutely could not do the show without the volunteers.
Yep, absolutely not.
That's awesome.
Well, I think that's true for all of DragonCon as well. But, you know, specifically for you guys, because a lot of heavy lifting going on. Now, do the artists actually hang their artwork, or do they send it in advance? How do you guys handle that?
When an artist arrives, they will go to the information desk where they're given some security stickers that allows them access to the room for that point.
Oh, okay.
And right, and then that way we know who's in the room, who should be in the room, who shouldn't be in the room.
Gotcha.
And then their job is to get all their artwork moved into the show once we have the show available for them to load in, which will be usually after 4 p.m. on Thursday. We have most of the show built and ready for them to hang.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in and hang up their items, and they'll go to my wife, Ann, or one of our other directors and say, hi, I'm ready to check in. And then we send over a volunteer to check them in, to make sure that everything they have in their bays or on their tables or on the floor matches their control sheets, matches their barcodes, matches all the things that should match before we open them to the show. And then at the end of the show on Monday, it's the opposite. They leave everything up, we go check them out, mm-hmm. and then they can pack up and leave.
You guys have this down to a science, but yet it's art.
We really do. They kind of joke around about us because they're like, it's art show. Wait, what list do you have for us today? We come to the shows with all these lists. It's like, okay, here's this list. And they're like, thank you. Oh, look, a floor map. How exciting.
Never has art had so many spreadsheets.
Yeah, it's true. It allows us to keep it running as smooth as possible because there's no way for us to know what sort of fires will occur, and they will occur on site that we have to put out. So as many as I can fix ahead of time is better than trying to do it all on site. It would be impossible. It's just impossible. Yeah. So that's our organization and why we must do it that way.
Very cool. One of the things you talked about was a few minutes ago was art in the round. And I did not know what that was until I was at one of the art shows. Can you explain that a little bit if people don't know what that is?
Okay, two-dimensional art is like paintings or drawings or photography that's been digitally manipulated in some fashion. You look at it, it hangs on the wall. It's what most people are familiar with when they think of, you know, fantasy sci-fi art. I bought a poster, I'm going to stick it on the wall. How cool. Sci-fi fantasy art in the round is three-dimensional art. It's like a sculpture. So in the round means you can see it from all 360 degrees, and it can give you something different than what a painting or a drawing can. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying it's a different representation of the same material. And often people who are more 3D, you know, have a more 3D sort of understanding, like myself, I enjoy that sometimes a little more interesting because it's easy, you know, I'm walking around going, wow, this is really interesting, and going and seeing things you might not see with other forms. But Anne really likes the 2D stuff because she always gets all that, right there? Yeah. So, you know, she goes like, what's this big pile of stuff? Don't ask questions. Okay, we're going to put that in our bin and take it home. Okay, so yeah, in the round is just that, 3D sculpture that's in the round. And we have quite a bit this year, so it should be really fun to see.
And you've had some of that that's been like a theme in the past, or...
It's called a diorama, yes. There were some gentlemen who were doing the dioramas that were sort of theme specific. One year it was Star Wars, another year it was like a haunted town and all this. It just became a situation where the gentlemen, it was becoming a little too cost prohibitive for them to do that. So we just kind of stopped doing that for them because they were doing that on their own.
Hey, we understand that happens. So very
last
cool.
year we had the puppets in that same space. We had the Heather Henson display.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with all the puppets.
Yeah.
So that was Jim Henson's daughter. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So neat.
Go ahead.
No, I just said so neat. I mean, that's just, to me, love it. So very cool.
Yes.
So have you guys had an opportunity to look at who's attending this year and that maybe you might try and get out and see if you can break away for 5 seconds?
Yeah, okay, here's
the deal about us. Yeah. We can't leave the room, generally speaking. We try. We actually try. My wife doesn't like to go very far, but I like to get out at least once. And Sunday's usually the day, being I've been there since Tuesday or Wednesday. I generally, on Sunday, like to go out and check out stuff. So I'm gone about, what, two-ish hours before?
No, you're usually gone 15 minutes.
Okay, well, I try. And so I generally will turn off my radio, but I leave my phone on because I know better. And but I like to go hit the dealer's hall, the exhibitor's hall. We've stopped trying to go over and see the famous Walk of Fame. Yeah, the Walk of Fame folks, because it takes too long to walk through them sometimes, so I just don't really have the time. But no, generally, you know, we stay there and take care of our area.
We people watching the art show, and that's a lot.
And we have various guests who come over, somebody we didn't expect to come over. That's always fun to have suddenly happen. We had John Rhys Davies show up last year and had no idea that the man spoke was English.
I
didn't know he was English. And it was just like, why is he talking in that accent? It's like, it's his real voice. Oh, okay, sorry. So he was really nice, and he was walking around checking out the yard. It was fun.
Well, if you like to go get to the dealer's room, it's going to be a little more of a hike this time, isn't it, for you?
A little further to go.
Well, not so much for us. I mean, it's right across from the Hyatt, which is where we're located.
It was in the Hilton before.
People,
so, yeah, it's actually closer.
Yeah, so it's not so far away. But it's going to be an apparel mart or America's Mart, I think some people call it. We local call it the apparel mart.
Mm-hmm.
On the first floor and I believe the second floor, is that correct?
I think so,
yeah.
First and second floor.
Those maps should be available on the app or online pretty soon if they aren't already. And they've taken, I think, about 20% more, give or take, last I heard. So it's going to have a pretty good offering of folks, I understand. So it should be pretty fun.
Yeah. Probably better well-lit as well than the dealer's room that was fairly dark down there.
Yeah, very dark.
Yeah, I was. I don't know what the lighting's like over there. But you will find some artists over there as well. That's what we consider more of a large-scale artist, like Ruth Thompson and Larry Elmore and some of the other larger artists who've been around as well. They often prefer a more dealer-exhibitor environment, instead of an art show environment.
How do you guys work with the, what is commonly known as Artist Alley? Do you guys do any work with them, or is it just strictly the art show?
We're in the same room, so of course we work with them. Tom Trainer. Yeah, Tom Trainer is director of the Comics and Pop Artist Alley. He's a good director, and we have, let me think, last I heard he had probably roughly 200 artists coming this year.
Oh, wow.
So
that many? I thought he had like 70.
No, he's looking at 200-ish. My understanding is, you know, they're going to come in at the same time our artists come in. We work together on watching crowd control and, you know, some of his security issues and various other things. So we kind of just share the load and make sure things happen that needs to happen.
Yeah, we're both located in the Grand Hall. The art show's in the Grand Hall West and the Comic Artists and Pop Artist Alley's in
Grand Hall East. So it's all in one giant room of all the artwork.
Yeah, and as I recall, it's like just a black drape that kind of separates the two.
Yeah, right. We separate it with our print shop, but there's a black
drape
between it.
Yeah,
pipe and drape, sure enough.
Yeah, so. Cool.
So there's an entrance between the two sides for people to go back and forth, so there's a lot of cross-pollination between the groups, which is fun. And our artists are always like, oh, cool, I can go see them. Or the comics artists like, wow, I wanted to go see so-and-so artist, and now I can, because when we were in separate hotels, that made it difficult. So.
I guess that would be true. So let me ask you this, then. One of our traditional last questions. I may have asked you something similar last year, so I'm going to ask you something slightly different. If you could have, this is going to be silly, each of you, if you could have three artists that could appear in a sci-fi series, or even a sitcom, sure, why not, which three artists would you like to see in which sci-fi series, or sitcom, or whatever, movie?
Wow, that's a fun one.
And it could be Living Dead, but not the Living Dead.
Not the Living Dead.
It
can be Living or Dead, but not Living Dead.
No zombies, because I don't like zombies.
Lee doesn't like zombies. But,
no zombies.
No zombies. I don't know. Could you imagine Todd Lockwood in Stargate?
That would be funny, yeah.
Yeah.
We could put Don Mates on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
That would work. And he's like, wait a minute, wait a minute. He could be off to the side actually drawing.
Yep.
Don't move. I'm not sure who else. Janny, his wife, is in really, that raises the horses, so she could do some sort of horse thing or dragon thing, I guess. I'm not really sure. It would just depend. It would be just interesting to... What do you think, Love?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Boris Vallejo and Julie Bell in some sort of barbarian flick. Yeah. Yeah. That would...
To put them on Conan the Barbarian.
Conan the Barbarian, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Well, let me also ask you this one, then, too. If you could have three artists that are no longer with us, and they can be, you know, classical artists, they don't necessarily have to be in the genre, who would you, each of you like to have at the art show, if you could? And appear.
Well, Frank Frazetta comes to mind immediately. And, you know, probably, and maybe I should mention this, I don't know if I have. We have a very special gallery presentation that fell into our laps. And I forget what they call it, Northern Star, I believe. Northern Star Gallery out of Oregon is the representative of Kelly Fries, who is a very well-known artist who has passed back in, I'm not sure the actual dates, it's either the 50s or the 60s,
no,
but he was kind of the Michael Whalen of his time that Michael is today. And they've agreed to send some of their work, his work,
some of his original work.
Show, some of his original work to the show that we're going to be showing. So that's exciting for us, and not a lot of people have seen his work either because it's usually in one of the museums out west. So that'll be a lot of fun. But Frank Frazetta would be one. Some of Michelangelo's stuff would be wonderful. And who else do you think, Lev? No?
No clue.
And we've already had Boris, so he was kind of one
Boris
of my dream
people. Yeah.
Boris Vallejo was kind of one of my dream people coming. It was pretty cool. So that would be the three main for me. And I don't know if she's that specific. Are you, Love?
No.
No? Okay.
I just buy what I like.
Okay. There you go.
You don't know what art is, but you know it when you see it?
I just know what I like, yeah.
Nice. Well, again, can you please remind people where you are and also where maybe they can find more information about you over on the DragonCon website or even on the interwebs somewhere?
Sure. If you want to find out about us, we're located in the Hyatt Regency Atlanta on the exhibition level in Grand Hall West.
Mm-hmm.
And we're open on Friday from 1 to 8, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 8, and Monday from 10 to 4. And you can find more information about us on the main DragonCon website under what to do or where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go down on our list and it says Art Show and click on there, and we have more information there. And also there's a link from there to our Art Show website, which is a separate site, and that will tell people who are interested in buying. There's a buyer rules section to tell you about, you know, what you need to get, the bidder number,
the bidder
you know, what we accept payment-wise, you know, that sort of thing.
And to refresh everyone's memory, when do they come by to, if they haven't already registered in the past, when can they come by to register?
Register for?
For a number. Bidder number.
Anytime
that we're open.
Okay.
Up until Sunday
at 6 o'clock.
All right. And I did have one other thought. Oh, where's the track room for your actual programming?
Hanover G.
Awesome.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Anything else we need to cover, Lee?
No, I think that's great. Go and buy art and spend money on art because art is important.
Okay,
so, yeah, my liberal arts degree
has
been used.
Okay. Can I mention one more thing about our charity project?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Please do.
Please.
I always forget this. I think I did this last year. It's like, one more thing. This year, the theme for the charity project is Better Gnomes and Gardens. And what we're giving folks is a 12-inch bisque-baked ceramic gnome. That's what we're calling a naked gnome. So we're giving people a naked gnome and say, please take this and do something with it. And you have till Saturday around noon to pass it back in. And these will be eligible for awards later in the show.
And for sale at the Voice Auction on Monday.
Correct. And so all the charity project will be benefiting the charities this year, which is going to be Noah's Ark Animal Sanctuary, the Georgia Conservancy, and the Marcus Autism Center. so we're, you know, it's our show's part of helping out for the charity because we're very charity-oriented over there. But I had no idea that gnomes were such a big thing. We had, like, a bazillion responses almost immediately when we put it out there. It was like, I want a naked gnome. Okay. So people are very excited about the gnomes, and they apparently are quite collectible, so this should be fun.
Oh, that'd be awesome. So let me just make sure I got this clear. So you give them to your artists, and the artists then go and decorate them, and then, then you auction them off. That is awesome.
Exactly.
Correct.
Yep.
And they're all, and the whole point of it is to give a bunch of the same things to the different artists and see how many different ways they come back to it.
Mm.
And it's just phenomenal what some of them come up with. It's just really, really fun.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw any of the softballs from last year that benefited ALS, but they were phenomenal, the softballs that came back. They were great.
Oh, I missed
those.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay, so
yay, charity.
All right, well, John and Ann, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate you taking time out of your day, and especially since you guys get to get geared up even earlier than the rest of the directors for as far as load in and everything else, so and planning and prep and getting everything in order, and I really do appreciate that.
Sure, thanks.
And you put on a great show every year, so thank you very much for taking the time out.
Well, thank you, and we had fun talking.
Thanks a lot for being here, guys.
All right.
And again, go spend money at the art show. Go spend money.
Spend money and especially hit the charity auction too. So that'd be great for those. Get those gnomes. I want a gnome. The only problem with that is that I like to put gnomes in my garden, and because I like
I think they'll be inside gnomes. But
yes.
I don't know. I mean, some people have talked about spraying them so they're ready for outside.
Yeah,
we don't know yet.
You know, because I like to move them around in the garden. My daughter keeps a garden, and I like to move it around and have her convinced that they're actually moving. She's 13 years old.
Gnome moves.
Oh, that's mean.
She's 13 years old. She knows they're not moving themselves. At least I hope. But anyway, John and Ann. Thank you. And as always, for John and Ann and Lee, this is John saying until next time, peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.